Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Hi, friend.
Hey, friend. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm drinking coffee. We've been chatting for a while before hitting record.
It's always the case. Yeah. Maybe our besties are just going to know. Yeah. We just need to like start going into it because they know we've been chatting for at least 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Sometimes an hour.
we've been talking about Instagram algorithms. we've been talking about kids. We've been talking about sleep, of course. That's like one of our main topics of conversation. And yeah, all the things. But we're excited today to talk a little bit about philosophy again.
I always love these chats.
Yeah, I've really liked our other episodes on yoga philosophy. And for anyone who has not listened to them, I know if you're not familiar already with yoga philosophy, it can sound like a really, really boring subject. but it's actually pretty compelling, especially when you start relating it to your own life and story. And for me, as much as like the physical practice of yoga has been such a cornerstone of my life and a tool for growth and self-love and all of that, the philosophy has really been, I think, what's given me, like, I guess the ethics to even inform, like, what we're doing on the mat, first of all, but, like, to live my life by. And it takes yoga off of something we do on this little rectangle in a room and into just, like, how we live our everyday lives and make decisions. And it's ancient wisdom that is time-tested. And it's not like religion, you know, it's not really telling you to do this thing or you'll be punished or that this is just the law and how it is. It's more like this is how you can be happy. that's truly, I think, what yoga philosophy is. This is how you can be happy. This is how you can know your own soul. And this is how you can navigate through this life. And I think that, you know, while modern life is very unique in a lot of ways, when we go back and learn about this philosophy and what we're talking about today was written like 2000 plus years ago, we realize that humans have probably been dealing with like the same stuff forever.
Yeah.
Just by nature of being human. So it feels for me like really connecting to dive into this stuff because, you know, like today, what we're talking about really is relationships and mindset around relationships. And, you know, that is just one of the biggest parts of being human. And it's nice to have, like I was talking to Rashida before this about, I was doing a podcast interview with like this older man and he was interviewing me, but I wanted to learn more about him, you know, because he's been practicing for decades. And, you know, when we look back at this philosophy, it's thousands of years in the making and it's the result of many people's practices over a long, long time. So, yeah, it's really wonderful. And it's non-dogmatic, meaning like, again, there aren't like these rules to follow for to get into the afterlife or something like that. It's how do we find happiness?
You don't need a ticket.
No. It's like, how do we find happiness here and now in our own beings? So anyway, that is what we're chatting about. And I think we can link to our other philosophy episodes too, if this kind of piques your interest.
Yeah. And Lauren, before we dived in, I wanted to like ask you, I'm pretty sure I asked you before, but if someone, they listen to this episode and they're like, oh, wow, this is really, really cool. Where do I start? I'm not a yoga teacher. I'm not a student, you know, in any practice. Like, what should I start? Because now I know that yoga is not just the asanas, there's more to that. What would your advice be for them?
Yeah, I love the book that I've been referencing during these episodes. It's called Living the Sutras, A Guide to Yoga Wisdom Beyond the Mat with Kelly DiNardo and Amy Pierce Hayden. And I like it for a few reasons. One, it's just really accessible. It's easy to understand because there are some Yoga Sutra interpretations that are a lot more like academic and heady. And while they have a lot of value, I don't think they're a good entry point for a beginner. And there are reflection questions and like exercises too throughout this book. So it invites you to interact with it rather than just read it. So it's something that you could not, this is advice for anyone studying philosophy. Like, don't pick up this book and just like sit down and read the whole thing. That's not what it's made for. It's meant to be interacted with, right? So I would maybe read like one sutra a day or a couple, depending on what they are. And sutras means a verse, like they're just little short verses. And then read the their writing that goes with it. So they always relate it to like life and modern life and do the reflections. That way you're actually like digesting the information and embodying it rather than just studying it or reading it. So
Yeah,
that would be
so,
my biggest piece of advice.
and that's actually kind of like what I've been doing. I ordered the book after you made the recommendation after the first one, and my intention was to like, all right, let me read it so I like am knowing what I'm getting into when we have these conversations. But actually, the way you've been breaking it down and then like us talking about it as it applies to, my life, and then I have the book now, so I will actually go back and look at some of these verses and go through it a little bit after we discuss it. So that's been very, in a way, allowing me to integrate some of this, some of these things that we're talking about. And the book is amazing. It's very like down to earth type of information. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, the integration piece I think is really important. And also, like once you read it once, it doesn't mean that you can't read it again. I think it should be read and studied and contemplated over and over. I don't teach like the whole of the sutras every year when I lead yoga teacher training at my studio, but the verses and the concepts that we focus on, like I love that I get to revisit them every single year. And I love that I get to, like, all of our philosophy is discussion based. So I love that I get to hear so many different perspectives around it too, because it always becomes fresh, if that makes sense. And there's always like a different perspective to take and a different way your mind can open up or maybe even find more empathy for others. So yeah, it's for me, it's just one of my favorite things in the world. I
Love it.
really do love it. Yeah. So, just as a review, the whole point of yoga, and again, this is like the holistic practice of yoga, including the ethics and lifestyle and this path to liberation, is the liberation. It's kind of being free from the tyranny of your own mind so that you can be in the seat of your soul. Meaning we have so much going on in the mind all the time. That's the nature of being human. And when we're able to not, I guess, identify ourselves as this and instead pull back and identify ourselves as the one who is observing all of this, then it puts us in touch with our soul. So that's the whole point of like all the practices that are outlined in the Yoga Sutras is to get to that space. And once you, I suppose, master that, you're in this like state of bliss called samadhi. It's all a practice. So I think, for me, have I had moments of samadhi? Yeah. Is that how I'm living all the time? No, it's really not. I wish, but I'm still going to do these practices because they help me grow and expand and love myself more and just be more in touch with my soul. So, like building that muscle,
Yeah.
right?
I
So,
think it's
oh, go ahead.
almost like our dharma. Yeah, I think it's almost like our dharma. We get to a point, right, that we have been shooting for, and then like we can stay there for a little bit, but it's almost like we do have to like keep going and keep growing and keep like striving to like get there. So in a way, it kind of feels like that to me too. But yeah, let's get into this. I'm really interested about what we're talking about today.
So what we're going to talk about is kind of an antidote to affliction. So afflictions in this context would be like all of what's going on in the mind all of the time and different ways that we create suffering for ourselves.
Okay.
And these would be antidotes. So they talk about like one-pointedness in the mind, meaning like focus and different ways to breathe and stuff like this, that. But this is more about how we handle other people and how we handle relationships. So this is often referred to as the four locks and keys. And the four locks are, these different afflictions are different, like, I guess, different attitudes that other people hold. And the keys are how to handle these attitudes, basically. Okay, so the verse 133 in this book is pretty simplified, but then we'll go into more detail of what this means. So they say the mind remains steady and calm when we respond with the appropriate attitude for the situation. The mind remains steady and calm when we respond with the appropriate attitude for the situation. So the steady and calm mind is really like one of the major goals of yoga. And there can be behaviors that other people have that trigger us. That's just like, that's
Of course.
how it is being human. And this gives like how to handle that, basically. So the first one, the lock would be someone else's happiness, and the key to that would be responding with our own happiness. And they say, be happy for those who are happy. So I think we have all experienced the opposite of this before, where we feel triggered by somebody else's happiness, or maybe we've been happy before and someone else becomes triggered by that, right? Because maybe we have something that they don't have, or they have something that we don't have. Or when we see their happiness, it just points to how empty or unhappy we feel, right? So this is like, just be happy for people. It sounds so simple. But our minds don't always want to do that, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's one of those, it's exactly what you said. It points out the lack of what we don't have, you know? But when you think of like manifestation, so to speak, it's almost kind of like the same thing. You know, it says someone else's happiness, the lock, and then the key is our own happiness. So if we are trying to manifest some of these things like happiness, we first have to like feel into what it is to be happy and exude that vibration, as far as manifestation goes. So this makes complete sense. And also too, like when we're not happy for other people in a way, we're trying to like kind of do them harm. Not so much physical harm, but we're trying to bring them down. We're trying to bring their vibration down because we don't feel good inside. And why would we want to be that way? You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, for sure. I'll also add that, being happy for someone who's happy might not be our first reaction, unfortunately. And with this philosophy, it's an opportunity to course correct. So it's not like I have to respond perfectly every time, but it's about the self-awareness piece, right? Like,
The
oh,
awareness,
yeah,
yeah.
like, oh, why am I reacting in this way? How can I maybe turn that around? Or like, what do I need right now that I'm not getting?
Well, it's allowing yourself to truly be the observer, you know? Yeah. I feel that so much. I feel like, Lauren, when I first got on this like path, that was happening a lot. And I would always question myself, like, why do I feel so upset or like I triggered wasn't like the word in my terminology yet, so I couldn't like place that, and I wouldn't say that word initially, but in the beginning of my journey, it was like, why is this making me like unhappy? Like, why is this making me upset to see someone doing this thing or being this way? What is it about that? And so it really, you're right, like brought this self-awareness. And I guess in a way, you know, starting my spiritual path was allowing me to kind of like see this, you know, without even knowing like what it was that I was like doing. So the awareness piece is key. And I think it's going to happen no matter what stage we're in, honestly.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'll also add, like, kind of from the end of the happy person, I have personally found myself downplaying things before so as not to trigger other people. Because I have been on like the receiving end of that before. And that's
You've
not
done it with
cool.
me before. No. I remember it was especially like after your book. You were like, I was like, this is a huge deal. This is so exciting. You're like, yeah. And I'm like, what's going on? So I'm glad you're like in a place now where you're like, no, like this is legit. Like I need to be happy about this.
Yeah, you know, I definitely still struggle with that, I think, and it's like a codependency or something like that, like the managing other people's feelings or emotions. But I think this sutra gives us permission to just be happy and to know that other people's reactions are their own responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, and your own reactions are your own responsibility too.
And kind of like detaching yourself from those reactions in a way.
Yeah. Let's get into like, okay, it's one thing in real life to have this pop up, and it's another thing on social media, and I think it's really interesting. Like if you read comments under just somebody's like happy post, like if it has a lot of engagement, there will be like some
All the
negative
negativity like
crap that
comes.
comes up.
Oh
Yeah.
my gosh.
Yeah.
I will say this. Sometimes I do go to the comments for entertainment value because it never fails and I'm just going to put it out there, the craziness that you read and the view that other people have, but you are absolutely correct. You will see posts with lots of engagement, lots of comments, and you're like, ooh, what is this all about? And the negativity. Now, you also do see people like jump in and be like, why are you even here? Like, what was the point in saying what you said? But I think it's the same thing, Lauren. People get triggered, and because social media is like an instantaneous like way to communicate, and it's also in a way faceless. Why not
Yeah.
be the mean person and say the mean thing?
And I think you bring up a good point in that, like, what these locks and keys do are they're like an invitation to pause and not react right away. They're an invitation to, like, yeah, just take a moment. I think until you can, like, be conditioned enough to, like, automatically respond, maybe in these ways. But man, like being happy for somebody who's happy, like there's nothing better than adding more happiness to the world. Let's like vibrate that together.
Well, absolutely. And it starts with us, but when we look out, what do we see a lot of? You know, if we're not in the circles where we're, you know, kind of like not saying walking with blinders on, but before I started my path, I was open to everything and anything, receiving everything and anything that the external world had for me. And so I think this is also another like reminder to it's kind of like okay to shield yourself from things that are happening, if it's protecting your peace and your happiness.
Yeah, I think it can be yeah, and you build these muscles so that you can handle more, I think, over time, right? So let's go to the next lock and key. This one is find compassion for those who are unhappy. So the lock would be someone's unhappiness, and the key would be compassion. And I think that We see this a lot in the kind of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps mentality of seeing somebody who's unhappy and it's like, well, do something about it. It's maybe okay to wish that someone felt empowered to help themselves in a certain way if that's something they're capable of and have the resources for, but should that be our first reaction?
No, because we don't know the full story.
No. And like we've all been unhappy, and it's kind of ridiculous to like expect anyone to not be, if that makes sense. Like it's just part of the human experience. And I think that like maybe because unhappiness kind of sucks, like we're super uncomfortable with that feeling, maybe even when it's in or within someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've thought
I
about
guess
like,
my.
oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, it's kind of like, you know, if someone's unhappy and the first thing you do is like, oh, but you have so much to be grateful for. It's like, okay. while that might be true, like let's step back and do that. And then are you doing that to yourself too when you're feeling unhappy? Are you trying to like gaslight yourself into happiness right away? Or,
Right.
you know, do you hold space for the emotion and then, you know, turn it around? Again, the pause, super important. What does this bring up for you?
Yeah, so when I think about this, I guess I have to look at the word compassion. I know you and I use it often enough, but I'm trying to like go back to my relationship with this word before, I start on this path. And I think sometimes it's really hard for people to feel compassion because they might see it as a sign of weakness. We're supposed to be sympathetic or empathetic to someone else's misfortunes or, situations, and then also in a way figure out like how we can help them. And I think first of all, compassion isn't always like trying to fix it for them, A lot of us who are empathetic, we feel so much that we want to just like help and fix it, but allowing ourselves to just really like acknowledge what someone is going through without having to fix it, I think is a really great practice because sometimes like, Lauren, if something happens to me, I don't want you to tell me what I have to do to fix it. Like you being a listening ear and just understanding can help me feel better about what's going on. You just seeing me and acknowledging me. And I feel like that was something that I've had to like learn as well, is I don't have to fix it for anybody, but simply my act of being here and listening, can give them maybe the push if it needs to be a push or the support that they may need. So and it's not me being like overly happy, right? Someone else's sadness or, someone is unhappy. I don't have to then and bring in my happiness to like try to help them become happy.
Yeah.
I just have to see. I have to see them and hear them because I feel like in a world where we are able to put ourselves out there all the time and speak our truths and say whatever, like sometimes I still don't think we really are seen, felt, and heard. And that is like super important for someone who is unhappy.
As the receiver of compassion, I think that's exactly it. You want to feel seen, heard, known, felt, right? So it's interesting, like giving compassion is almost like holding space, right, for somebody. And it's also not absorbing their unhappiness, because that can happen too. That would be like meeting unhappiness
Yes.
with more unhappiness and piling it on.
We're just
Yeah.
wallowing in a pile of unhappiness. Yes.
Yeah. When I think of compassion, I think of being able to like put yourself in someone else's shoes while also still maintaining your own energy. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So like having your
Well,
own
how else are we
center.
gonna let? Yeah, well, but how else are we gonna be able to like relate to somebody if we're not able to put ourselves in their shoes? That doesn't mean we become them. We
Right.
just relate to them because we can understand the situation and the place that they are in.
Yeah, I think for a lot of like more sensitive folks, that's one of the reasons that boundaries are needed more is to be able to not just get like pulled in or absorbed into someone else's situation. You are not them. I mean, we're all connected and we're all one in the spiritual sense, but like, you know, I think we can be of more service when we're in our own energy and when we have our own strength and joy to draw upon, right? So that if the time comes to take action, that we have fuel for it. We're able to give what they don't have at that time.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's number two. Number three is called have joy for the virtuous. So the virtuous would be the lock, and the joy would be the key. So they're pretty clear here that virtuous doesn't mean like pious or righteous, that it's a combination of someone's good qualities and that the work they put in for their accomplishments. So when they're saying virtuous, it's almost like a very true and well-rounded sense of success, if that makes
Okay.
sense. So it's not
Very
being.
true and well-rounded sense of success.
Yes. So when you think of success, it's not just monetary, it's not material. It's like, you know, it's them acting in integrity and working hard and, you know, living a life that is ethically aligned and reaping rewards for that, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it does make sense.
So we're meant to approach that with joy. And it's kind of similar to the first one, where sometimes it's hard to meet happiness with happiness. It's hard to meet someone else's success with joy when we are feeling our own lack. And yeah, we were talking about me like downplaying stuff earlier. This is that I think this is tied in too. Because I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like to don't think I've historically liked to trigger people. I think I care a little less now, but you know, I think that when we are in a space of success, we should be able to enjoy that and like really soak it in and feel it, because life isn't always one way or another. Like there is going to be the contrast in times where we're not feeling that or where we have failures. And when we see someone else who is going through a milestone or a success, living a great life, like, yeah, we should be so joyful for them. And like, no, for some reason, I'm like doing a lot of visualizing of vibrations in this talk. And I'm thinking about like someone's success putting off these like beautiful vibrations, and we should be soaking them in and like adding to that rather than trying to combat it with something negative. And negative
I love that
vibrations.
visualization.
Yeah, I feel like that with like meeting happy with happy, meeting unhappy with compassion. Like, how do we mix our vibrations together for the greatest good, if that makes sense?
Oh, that makes perfect sense, and it's such a like beautiful visualization when you think about it. Because when you are in someone's realm of, let's just use the word that they use, virtuous or success, right? You have one of two ways to be. And if you choose the more lower vibrational way, you're miserable. You're absolutely miserable. You are constantly seeing and playing this thing that you don't have, that you're not getting, that you're not there, which in turn is going to keep you exactly. I'm shaking my laptop here. Keep you exactly. I am such a hand talker. Keeping you exactly where you are. And if you are truly trying to get from where you are, obviously something has to change. And it's not one of those things that you're gaslighting yourself, into like being this next thing. But in a way, it's like you have to feel your way through that. Like, yes, acknowledge what's coming up for you in this moment. And how can you transmute that? Like, like this feeling of, oh, I just cannot believe they're like flaunting whatever they have, and we don't have to know about this like other car that they just got, or oh, they're going on this trip again. Like, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, first of all, that's a lot of like material things, and we get to enjoy life through these things, actually, you know, when we get to a place that we can do certain things, we get to enjoy life. And so a lot of people see those things, but I think also for us to remember, yes, we have to have joy for these people, but they have gone through their own lack and their own struggle to get to where they are. And in a way, it's kind of like our turn, and how we choose to like navigate through this path will determine like what success or virtuousness we come out with on the other side.
I think there's almost this feeling of scarcity around joy, like there can only be so much, and why does this person get to have it and I don't? And it's not like that joy is an infinite current, in my opinion, and according to the philosophy. And yeah, we can actually, I don't want to say use other people, but we can feel inspired by other people's virtue or success
Joy.
to find our own.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, Lauren.
This also makes me think about how, what do they say? You're like a combination of the five people you spend the most time with, or something like that. So it's like,
I remember hearing that.
yeah, it's important to surround yourself with like high vibe people, I think, and people who you admire and people who inspire you, because that's going to help you like grow and next level yourself. I think about, I don't get to practice yoga in groups a whole lot lately, but when I was doing a lot of group classes, I loved when like I would set my mat down next to somebody who could do more than me, right? Because,
Kind of like pushed you.
yeah, pushed me. And I'm not going to sit there and be jealous of them. Like I'm in my own practice, but I'm like, oh wow, look what
It's
is
possible.
possible.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, maybe this is also an invitation to examine like who you are spending time with, and do you need to kind of, I don't want to say look up because we're not on levels like that, but do you need to be surrounded by people who are inspiring to you, who are maybe in places that you eventually want to be?
No, absolutely. It kind of like it makes me think of like I don't know, you've all seen these, you know, these movies that portray certain things like what was that movie? With the football player who Sandra Bullock played in this movie, and
Oh, I didn't see it, but I know what
she
you're
took
talking about.
okay,
The Blind
so in
Side or
this
something like
movie,
that?
yeah, Blindside, that's yes, that's what it is. So really great movie. You should see it. I don't know. I just it's just such a feel good movie, I think. But there's a couple of scenes where, you know, obviously this boy came from poverty and he was taken in, and from where he came from, like these guys were just like, "Oh, you're so much better than us now. You're this and that." And I think that plays a part in how people can decipher whether or not it's time to switch circles. Because if you are in a place of becoming better, the people who care for you, and not necessarily in this movie that they cared for him, but if you're relating it to your own life, the people in your circle should want the best for you. And if they do not have the best for you, and they're always trying to be what is that thing, like a crab in a bucket, like it's time to like rethink that. And when you start to make these shifts and changes, you don't necessarily have to like alert everybody to what you're doing. Like sometimes it's really the best thing to start making, as I say, moves in the dark, you know, just to come out into the light and protect like what it is you're trying to do. So that's what this brings up to me. Like, yeah, having that like joy for other people, but like you said, Lauren, like really seeing where you are and the circles that you're in, it's either going to make make it better or make it worse for you to have and cultivate this joy for what possibilities that you see in other people.
Yeah. I'll also add that if you are like looking for a mentor, for instance, like you're looking to learn from somebody and eventually maybe be doing some of the same things they're doing or achieve their same level of success, like if you're approaching them with joy and support rather than like you owe me something
Fangirling.
or yeah, like they're going to be a lot more likely to want to provide an equal level of support for you. I've definitely encountered that before with someone who came to me several years ago and just was like, I want to learn from you and what can I do to help? And she had such a great attitude that I brought her on to work for me like right away, and now she's getting ready to open her own yoga studio several years
That's
later.
amazing.
Yeah, and I'm so happy for her. And yeah, it was all about her approach, I think, in the beginning that made me want to respond really generously. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think this also brings up the other side of the coin. Like you were obviously talking about someone who was like in your inner circle that personally knew you and everything like that. And you brought up like social media in one of our last locks and keys. When we are in social media, sometimes we all know this to be true, but I think sometimes we forget we have to have a lot of discernment as well when we're looking for mentors within this space. And you know, also how we approach things as well is important. And like doing our research, and I don't know, I hate to hear like people getting taken advantage of or becoming, you know, disappointed. So you also need to not only like put yourself out there, yes, like you said, in a way that is going to be very inviting and open to have a mentorship with somebody that you know, respect and in a way like love what they're doing and their cause, but having that discernment as well.
Yeah. And I think like just looking at this whole concept and relating it to social media is very interesting because yes, you have to have discernment and you have to also understand like social media is typically people's highlight reels or maybe they're using it for business to sell something and they're not putting most people are not putting everything on
Out
social.
there.
So yeah, I think just figuring out what your boundaries and exposure are really important. And then maybe it's a safe place to practice some of these things too. Like, oh, you're not in their face, so you can be like, well, okay, I just saw this picture of them on vacation. Why am I feeling a certain type of way? And then how can
Oh
I like
yeah.
turn that into happiness,
Yeah. I love that. It's allowing you to like practice over and over again without someone actually seeing like your first reaction. So maybe when you
Exactly.
are in person, you've had enough practice to like really feel authentic in like what you're feeling and doing and saying.
Yes, for real.
I love that.
Wait, shall we do the
I
last
you know what
one?
I
Oh,
love
go
too.
ahead, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, I love the fact that we have to like use these like ancient principles and just wisdom and apply it to like modern day social media. Like this is really cool and interesting. So yeah, let's get into the last one. Let's see where this goes.
Sure. So this one is exercise restraint toward the wicked. So the lock would be the wicked, the key would be restraint. So when we're talking about the wicked, quote unquote, we're talking about someone whose behavior goes against our values or beliefs. And also, a lot of times this sutra is translated as like in treating it with indifference, which they're specifically saying like that is not the case. This we're not meant to ignore injustice. This is about acting when they say re with restraint, they mean with like equanimity. So that means finding your center before responding. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. And It makes so much sense because as soon as you said this, I had this like visual of like a slope and going down it. And I guess what that is meaning for me is if we are not using restraint or equanimity when we are responding to the wicked, we can easily fall into the trap and become exactly what we are opposed to being.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I also don't think this is calling for us to like not feel anger or, not feel the feelings that can come with injustice because they need to be felt. They're real, but it's like take the pause before responding, if possible, so that you can use your higher mind to respond. Because when we are in anger, when we're in a trauma response, when we're having those like big feelings, the brain is not working in like a holistic way. It's like the lower
Yeah, don't
brain
they say we
takes
have to go from the
over.
lower brain? Right,
Yeah,
exactly.
exactly. And I think we are humans with this higher mind for a reason. We need to use it. And if we're going to all live together in this global society, we have to have that access. We can't act like animal, like we're all animals, but we can't act
We
like,
are.
yeah, we can't act uncivil.
We cannot use our higher faculty that we have
Yeah,
to be able to like live cohesively in this global environment.
exactly.
Absolutely.
So I think we need an outlet for these brain states, these emotional states, they're important, right? And then we need to transmute them with our higher minds, with our intuitions, with our hearts into some sort of sacred action. So, that's likely going to make a more positive difference than fighting fire with fire, because then all you have is fire. You need to fight fire with water.
Yeah, I think I heard I can't remember it, but there's so many causes that have gotten won without violence, without the fighting, without all of these things, because the people in these movements really thought about what needed to happen. And also too, when you have an immediate reaction, just like what we were talking about with having joy for the virtuous, not coming from a place of negativity. Same thing with someone else's happiness is our own happiness, not coming up from a place of, lack or unhappiness or anything like that. Like, I think maybe when we first have these reactions, it possibly could be coming from our lower brain, right? It could be coming from this place that is not really thinking about what it is, because we are animals. We have and we react that, like, that's part of what we get to do and figure out and play with. But also, if you don't have restraint, if you don't think about what you're doing before you do it, sometimes you can regret what you've done. A lot of times you can cause more damage by what you say or you do. And as well, it's one of those things too, like taking a step back and really seeing the full spectrum of what's happening. Sometimes you don't have all the facts and you can't really make a decision. And so you're just spouting things off because you're of what someone else might be saying. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, absolutely. I think especially, I mean, this happens all the time in our personal interactions. I think, when things get heated, it's easy to like match the other person. But it also happens like very much on a global scale. And, in our world right now, there are several huge violent conflicts going on. And of course, we're going to feel emotionally drawn into that. It's horrible. We feel for others going through that. But yeah, before you hit share on social, maybe you need to learn the facts first. You need to calmly respond, and you need to ask yourself, like, what action can I take that's going to make the most difference? And I find that really hard sometimes because things pull at our heartstrings. or they anger us. It feels good to like do something, right?
And share. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up, because when these conflicts first started getting circulated on social media and a lot of my feed was filled with this stuff, a lot of my stories, I was like an emotional wreck, even to the point where I don't normally, like, unless it's, some things that I want to share on social, I even recorded myself speaking and saying certain things that I was going to post on my page. And then I had to take a minute, and say, is this going to be of the highest good? Is this helping in any particular way? No, it's not. What can I do, to help? And I think, Lauren, we talked about this, you've donated, I've donated. Having a little bit of awareness, maybe if it's being talked about in my inner circles, but still doing like what it is, like my life's purpose is going to be the best way to help as well. Not falling into a cycle, I guess you can call it. I don't want to like downplay what's going on, but for me personally, I physically, especially when these things come up, there's no way for me to physically do anything besides the things that I've, responded to. And sharing my sadness and my felt of injustice will only bring somebody down, in my opinion. And I choose not to do that. That doesn't mean I don't care. And I feel like sometimes social media wants us to act and wants us to respond and wants us to take a stance. But if that's not you and not what you typically do, I don't think you should feel pulled in order to do that as well. And I think that's okay. I talk about things personally in my inner circle. I don't really put a lot of stuff out there on my social media, and that's just who I am, So I
Yeah.
think you have to kind of come from it from that perspective too.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we've talked about this. I forget what episode, but it was like we talked about different types of activism. And I think just figuring out what is best for you is what's important. And for some, it might be showing the anger and emotions because it's cathartic for people to know that they're not alone in it. But that might not be how you're most effective. So totally get that. I do want to share like the last couple sentences that they have in this section to kind of wrap up this sutra because they personalize everything. And they say it's important to recognize that we must begin with ourselves. When we can celebrate personal victories, be compassionate with ourselves, feel joy in our achievements, and forgive our shortcomings, life becomes easier and happier. So I think, it does start with us. And if we can be more compassionate, more loving toward ourselves, then we can extend that to others. I know when I'm being more self-critical, it's easy to like point the finger too. And I don't know. I think this is like an invitation to like work on your own
Oh, I
vibe.
love that. Mic drop. Oh, but it's so true. It's so true. And doesn't it always begin with us, honestly and truly?
For sure. It's like, I don't know. I just had this visual of like the collective, and it's this big ball of energy. And it's like, okay, if we want it to vibrate brighter and higher, are we gonna like be in the darkness pointing fingers at everyone, telling them to brighten up, or are we gonna brighten ourselves up first?
Yeah, and everyone and the people around us will match, right?
Yeah, well, if
If
they're
we're
following
so
these
bright,
rules.
if they're following these rules, right? But that's kind of like why we want to personally start following these things, because it should create ripple effects, especially if you were in the correct circles and you were around. I don't know. I feel like the action reaction type of thing. Like if you're brightening up your luminosity, Lauren, because like we talk often and we're together, I automatically want to figure out how to match you, right? I don't want to be dim. I don't want to be like behind. And that's not like a materialistic thing. That's just like a, it feels good to be in partnership, to be in community with someone who is about it,
Yeah,
right?
for sure.
And if I don't feel that, if I feel like negativity around it or whatever the case may be, maybe I'm just not ready for that type of relationship.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready to turn up my light. So,
Well, I love this discussion. Thank you so much for all of your wisdom and, personal experiences to draw from. Yeah, and listeners, if you enjoy this content, let us know because we like talking about it.
yes, we really do. Well, Lauren, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation as usual. And our listeners, if you enjoyed it, you can check out episodes 13 and 22, where we started and thought, hey, you're not really doing yoga. And Lauren drops the mic on some wisdom around that. And then you can listen to 22, and this will kind of like come full circle. But Lauren, we have so many more to go through, don't we?
Yeah. Also, there's one more episode where we did the cliches. I
Oh
don't
yeah,
remember
I
what that
forgot
is,
about
but
that one.
we can
I'll put in
find
the
that
show
out and
notes. Yeah. We'll let you know later. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being you. I love you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too. Chat soon.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.